Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
This journey that you and I are getting ready to go on through the Word of God, our theme is going to be the place of change. The place of change. Our foundation scripture will be Jeremiah 17 and 14, where the prophet Jeremiah asked God in a time of prayer. He said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." The place of change is not the place I simply want to be, but it's the place my Father in heaven desires for his children to be. It is a place where the perfecting hand of God is at work within me, providing me his portrait of who I am and how I am to relate to him. It is a place where his grace of healing, goodness, of faithfulness, purpose of prosperity and favor shows up on the canvas of our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to remain in the place of change. The prophet Jeremiah's assignment is spelled out in Jeremiah 1 and 10, and I want you to look at that particular verse, because when we understand a person's purpose, we can understand the cry of their heart. We can understand how God is using them and what God is speaking through them, because we understand their purpose. And so in Jeremiah 1 and 10, the Bible gives us insight into the purpose of this prophet. It reads like this: "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." In the midst of Jeremiah carrying out God's mission, he embraces God's place of change. It is revealed in his prayer in Jeremiah 17, and I read verse 14, but in verse 15, he continues that prayer. In verse 15, it says, "Indeed, they say to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not heard away from being a shepherd who follows you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You know what came out of my lips. It was right there before you.'" Jeremiah communicates with God not only what he wants God to do with him, but he communicates what others are saying to him, as well as his personal testimony of witness before God. And then he sets it forth in his willing obedience toward the bigger picture of God. And that is God's place of change for his covenant people. That's the bigger picture. Not just change that God is shaping in my life, but change that God is doing on the bigger platform, and that is the body of Christ, the church. This place of change is spelled out in Jeremiah 18 and 1 through 12, and we're going to be ministering from this particular text in Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. The imagery is that of a potter in clay. The background is the house of Israel was clay in the hands of the divine potter. He could do as he pleased with this clay. His decisions, however, were based on the conduct of the nation. The conduct of the nation is rebellion and a will to walk in their own ways. Jeremiah was told to announce that the divine potter was fashioning calamity against Judah and Jerusalem. However, in judgment, there is mercy. They are given opportunity to experience God's place of change. If you look back in chapter 17, verse 5, the scripture says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." But then he comes down in verse 17 and gives a contrasting prophetic word from God. He said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. But his leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielded fruit." What does the place of change look like for New Testament believers in whom the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of vessels of clay to show forth God's pottery effect on those who follow him? We see this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. Paul said it like this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay," another translation says earthen vessels, "to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And Paul also gave witness when he used this particular metaphor in 2 Timothy 2:21. He said this: "If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, used to the master of the house, ready for every good work." What is God speaking? I believe that God is speaking to us, the body of Christ, concerning the place of change, and it begins with this. The place of change is having a posture of prophetic impartation. Let me say that again. The place of change is having a posture of prophetic impartation. God called to Jeremiah begins with him getting into a certain place to observe a certain image and then discern a certain application or meaning of that image. We find that in chapter 18, verse 1 of Jeremiah. It reads like this: "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word." God specifically tells him where to go. God specifically lets him know how he's going to respond to him once he gets there, once he makes the first step. And God specifically lets him know that when you get to the potter's house, I'm going to begin to release a prophetic revelation unto you. The greatest degree of prophetic insight is from the Word of God. For the Bible is a book of prophetic utterance. In 2 Peter 1:21, listen to what the scripture says about the Bible, the Word of God. "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." How do we get the Word of God? Because these human vessels of clay was willing to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to speak prophetically. The Holy Spirit began to give utterance in divine revelation. So the Bible is a prophetic book. However, God has provided spiritual gifts of grace for the edifying of the body to function in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And as a result, God will bring prophetic insight through the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jeremiah is a prophet to the nations. We got to be careful because we live in a country, America, where labels and titles is the way of the world. And that spirit that's in the world, it comes into carnal settings of the church. And therefore, we'll see people magnifying titles, magnifying certain types of words to put as an identity on themselves in the name of importance or greatness. For example, the Bible specifically says that Jeremiah was a prophet to the nation. That tells me this, that national leaders would know who Jeremiah was, that he will be known by nations, not just by nations, but he will be known by leaders of nations, just as other great prophets, Elijah, Elisha, when they begin to speak on the national stage. We have people here today, not even known by leaders of nations, but yet they say, I am called to speak to the nations. I am called to be an international church. All because I got a few members who don't have the same ethnic identity as the majority. All I'm saying is, a lot of this is egos. And we got to begin to look for the fruit. And we got to begin to align the prophetic insight that people claim to have from God that's outside of direct revelation of the scriptures. We got to be able to align that with the scriptures. And so the Bible gives us certain disciplines when it comes to prophetic insight that is outside of what we call the revealed will of God. First of all, the Bible instructs us in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the Bible tells us there's a spiritual discipline and accountability that belongs in the church, whereby we just can't allow people to get up and lay titles on themselves and don't possess the fruit that comes with the title. We need to hold people accountable. So he said, don't believe every spirit, because there are false prophets out there. There are people who are not speaking by the Spirit of God. But then he brings balance. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, the Apostle Paul said, do not quench the Spirit. Another translation says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on, do not despise prophecies. Notice he said, don't despise it. Don't reject it. Don't dismiss it. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So what does the Bible do? The Bible tells the church that we have to make sure that whatever is being prophetically spoken out, that it is in alignment with the revealed prophetic word of God. It's in harmony with the written word or the revealed will of God. It is a blessing to have prophecies and prophetic utterance in the body of Christ, because according to 1 Corinthians 14:1, it brings edification, encouragement to the body. It builds up the body. It encourages the body. So once Jeremiah has observed the first step, God assures him of the second step. And that is that once you go down to the potter's house, there I will cause you to hear my words. There are things we won't be allowed to hear until we get into a posture of faith and expectancy. This is the place in which we become equipped with heaven's hearing aids. In Psalms 36 and 9, listen to what the scripture says. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. God will cause us to see things that are hidden to the natural mind, to the natural eye gate. We will be able to see through the eyes of our heart. We sing the song, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Paul prayed that God would open the eyes of their understanding. And so God is described by the psalmist as a fountain of life. And out of the fountain flows light. That is divine insight and understanding. That's the prophetic. That's that insight that the Spirit of God illuminates. So he tells Jeremiah, if you get to the potter's house, if you make the first step, I will cause you to hear my words. A lot of time when it comes to the prophetic, we are not in a posture in order to be able to receive the impartation of the prophetic. Some people are not taught about the prophetic. Some people, they know how to relate to what they call good emotional preaching. But when it comes to the prophetic, it becomes personal. It becomes something that God illuminates from the inside out. And so here, writer goes on to speak of Jeremiah. Verse 3, he said, then I went down to the pot, thank God for willing obedience. And there he was making something at the wheel. I want you to grab this now. He went to the potter's house, and before he heard anything, he observed something. And when it comes to the prophetic, God often will give symbols and images and things that he wants you to observe. And when you begin to observe and you wait on him, he will begin to speak and he will begin to take natural things that he causes you to see on the inside of your heart. And he will begin to give the spiritual revelation or insight concerning even the natural thing that he is revealing to you. And that's good, because that's the wisdom of God. Jesus, he spoke in parables for a reason, because it's there's a connection to grab the attention of the audience. But then now that God has their attention, we have to teach them that there must be an expectancy of one's faith. And so the writer mentions that he noticed this wheel. Now, he doesn't mention much about the wheel in verse 3, but in our understanding of the wheel that the potter used in that day, there were two wheels of different sizes and for different purposes. The potter's feet operated the lower wheel and his hand the upper wheel. They worked in harmony with each other. There was an order to the process. The vessel was located on the upper wheel. What is the lesson that God brings next? And that is, the place of change focuses on the operator and not the object. The place of change is that the focus is on the operator and not the object. Notice the present condition of the vessel. The Bible say, in the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The word marred means to be defective. One translation says spoiled. In the eyes of the potter, even though it's in the potter's hand, work is yet needed. Some Christians know what it means to be saved, but not separated or set apart from the world to be a witness for Christ. In 1 John 2:15, John, he knew that quite well when he began to speak to the believers. He said it, verse 15, the New Living Translation, do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. We got to get people to understand that when God begins to bring you to the level of you understanding the prophetic impartation, and how when you come to that place, there must be an expectancy of your faith, and that you must focus on the potter and not the clay, the operator and not the object. Because he goes on in 2 John and he says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Christians are called to be spiritually minded. Matter of fact, Paul rebuked those Christians in 1 Corinthians 3 for their carnality. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. It resists the things of God. It can't relate to the things of God. And so God calls us to be spiritually minded. Once you become a Christian, the next thing is, according to Romans 12 and 2, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's then you're able to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So we have to understand that this clay now, we've got the potter's house, we've got the wheel, we notice the clay. The clay is made of dirt, but water is added to bring it into conformity to the potter's desire. The clay cannot mold itself. It must come into the hands of the potter. The water is designed to make it conducive for change. For the believers, that's the Holy Spirit. It is given to make us conducive for change that brings glory to God. That's why Jesus promised us that he will be our help, but he will also send us a helper. In John 14 and 16, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so we have this clay that has to be mixed with water in order that it might be compliable to the desire of the potter. Remember, the potter is the one who is bringing about the change. The clay can't do anything without the potter. The potter brings and adds the water. But not only is there water added to the clay to make it compliable, but heat is also added. And what the heat does to the clay, it strengthens it, it brings out the beauty and usefulness and value to the potter. I believe Job knew this quite well in the test of the fire-like experience of his life. And listen to what Job 23, 10 and 11, what his witness was. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without turning aside. What was Job looking at? Job was looking at his faithful commitment to ordering his life, not in a perfect way, but in harmony with God's covenant. Even though he's wrestling with many emotions, even though he's dealing with this sense of discouragement at times, he get a revelation that this thing is going to cause me to come forth as gold. I'm going to be strengthened. There's going to be beauty for my ashes. And not only that, but God is going to cause me to be useful and to see the value of the anointing and the grace of God ending up on my life. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 and 13, listen to where he uses this fiery-like experience. Because right now, part of God bringing change in our lives is that He allows the fiery light experiences only to allow our faith to be tested. And so we can make the necessary adjustments to make sure that we're operating in genuine faith. And so 1 Peter 4:12-13 says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And so the prophet Jeremiah, he identified that this clay was marred in the hand of the potter. He made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Wait a minute, it's in the potter's hand. But the potter is able to observe and notice this vessel is not producing the potential that I know is on the inside of them. This vessel is not walking in the level of the anointing that I placed on them. This vessel is not willing to make the first step before they get the second step. And if they're going to operate in the prophetic, they got to know how to trust me. That if I'm willing to give them one step, I'm not out to make them look with shame. I'm out to show myself strong on their behalf. And so the third thing that I believe is necessary at the place of change is that grace is given for God's glory. Grace is given for God's glory. We see that in the fact that He made it again. Have you had God to have to do it again? Have you experienced the grace of God's again moments? That whenever the change is not producing the results of the potter, remember, the change is not for no one else but the potter. God is the potter. We are the clay. And what He's doing in our life is because He's already predestined some things. He's already declared things before we showed up concerning our life. It happened to Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. God had called him to be a prophet to the nations. And so we see the loving grace of the potter, that He's willing to put the vessel again on the potter's will as it seemed good to the potter. The ultimate goal, the glory of God. And then Ephesians 1:7, Paul said it like this: "He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins." Who did that? The Father. He's so rich in grace. See, when grace is biblically taught, truthfully communicated, it's going to challenge them to walk out of the carnality, to put off the works of the flesh.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.